Folks, I come up here with a heavy heart today in light of what I have to say to you. The condition of Christianity and Western civilization is deplorable, and it's plunging people into the depths where they're no longer able or will recognize the second coming of Jesus Christ as their redemption. And I'm very burdened. On December 16th, in our own Las Vegas Journal, appears this article: Is the United States Becoming a Pagan Nation? It starts out by saying, here are some general agreed upon facts about religious trends in the United States. Institutional Christianity has weakened drastically since the 1960s. Lots of people who once would have been lukewarm Christmas and Easter Christians, churchgoers, now identify as having no religion or being spiritual but not religious. The mainline Protestant establishment is an establishment no more. Religious beliefs and practices now polarize our politics in a way that they didn't a few generations back. Folks, this is four columns, two full ones, actually five columns, two full ones, and three quarters. And it goes on to make the case that we are actually becoming believers in paganism of a Christian sort. One more paragraph, and I think you're getting the idea. Listen to this. This paganism is not materialistic or atheistic. It allows for belief in spiritual and supernatural realities. It even accepts the possibility of an afterlife. But it is deliberately agnostic about final things. Agnostic? You know the definition of that word? Agnostic, not knowing or not believing. About prophecy. What awaits beyond the shores of this world? They don't believe in that. And it is skeptical of ideas that were in existence, that there exists some aesthetic world denying moral standards. I don't know if you're like me. I have to look words up. You know what aesthetic means? Aesthetic means characterized by or suggesting the practice of severe self-discipline and abstinence from all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. This new Christianity called paganism, it says here that they're deliberately agnostic about final events, what waits beyond the shores of this world, and it is skeptical of the idea that there exists some aesthetic world-denying moral standards to which we should aspire. It goes on. We could boil it down to anti-biblical. Amen. And I have great concerns for myself and for you as the world is hounding us and belittling us for believing in this beautiful book. It doesn't fit with society today. And so I bring to you this morning, as we close this 2018, to a sermon titled, If Anyone Will. And before I invite you to open your Bibles and turn with me, I ask you to bow your heads as we pray. Oh, Father in heaven. Now, I found that article on the internet. It came out of the New York Times. It was published in Canada. It refers to numerous books that are being written by intellectuals that agree with this assessment. And we see this selfie society in which whatever makes you happy or is pleasurable, it's okay as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And Lord, here's my complaint. As Satan prepared Israel well in advance to reject the first coming of Jesus Christ, it appears to me that Satan has already prepared this world to not recognize or know the Christ of the second coming. Amen. God forbid that we, as the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church, would fall prey to this great deception, and that we would be tireless, Lord, in reaching people who are sincerely seeking, even though they're sincerely deceived. Now, Lord, use me to present this topic so that when it's over, we would have heard Jesus and seen Jesus and have a greater confidence in you and your Bible in spite of what we're hearing, seeing, listening to, experiencing all around us today. So bless for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 is our first text. The title, If Any Man Wills. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this supposed new pagan Christianity thing. Matthew 16. Now we're going to read three texts in succession here. And all of them, each one of them will be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, number one, do you have Matthew 16? Children, you have your Bibles open. Children, follow, please. I want you to see what's going on. Be prepared for these deceptions that are prevalent everywhere. Verse 24. Here's what it says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now let's go to Mark, the 8th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 34 and look what Mark wrote here. That Jesus said. Jesus said when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then our last text is found in Luke chapter 9. I want you to turn there, Luke chapter 9, and look at verse 23. You have Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And then, well, I'll wait, I still hear pages turning. And then he said to all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I misread that, didn't I? Pick up his cross daily and follow me. So let's take a look at these three texts. First of all, I want you to see that in Matthew 16, he was talking to his disciples. In Mark 8, he was talking to the people and his disciples. But in Luke 9, he was talking to all. Every single person. By the way, when I looked at this, I thought of myself right away. I thought, this is the three angels' message to every kindred, people, kindred, tongue, and nation. Everybody is welcome into God's kingdom. And God is saying to all of us, regardless of our background, our origin, our shape, our size, our monetary value or devalue, our color of skin, our height, all God wants in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, one, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Do you see, just right here, I could say, let's pray. I could say, let's pray, because this is directly opposed to what I just read you in this article. Directly. And the question boils down to, who are we going to believe? And by the way, in the Greek, the word pos, all, is pos. It's a prime word. It means all, any, ever, the whole. And then let's look at these three again. And when we do, we're going to find this. That Matthew 16:24 tells us, if anyone desires to come after me. Mark 8:34 says, whoever desires to come after me. And Luke 9:20 says, if anyone desires to come after me. All three of those agree in this idea. That word desires is thalo in the Greek. It means to determine. Remember, it says in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 1, Daniel determined, purposed in his mind that he would not defile himself. And this word thalo, which is in your Bible will or wishes, which is appropriate, it means to determine, to choose or prefer, literally or physically, figuratively, by implication, to wish, to be inclined to delight in. And then as we look further at this text, we discover this. We discover that now it says in Matthew, let him deny himself. And in Mark it says, let him deny himself. And in Luke it says, let him deny himself. And in the Greek, this word means to deny utterly, disown, abstain, deny. Now, why do I interpret these so you can see that we're not losing something in the translation? Jesus literally said, deny yourself. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Do you understand when you took your first breath completely naked, that you were born on Satan's side? Are you aware of that? In Psalms 51, Paul said, I was conceived in sin, I was born in sin. Why do you think Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again? The first birth produces flesh, but the second birth produces spirit. And society is saying, this is nonsense, it's not necessary. You're going too far, you're too extreme. And when we look a little further at these three texts, we discover that notice that in Matthew it says to us, and take up his cross. Mark says, and take up his cross. But Luke said, take up his cross what?
Daily.
That word in the Greek for cross is stolros. It means a stake or a post as set upright. A pole or a cross as an instrument of capital punishment. Figuratively, exposure to death. That is what? Self-denial. Self-denial. So, Jesus said, if any come after me, let him deny himself and deny himself daily and follow me. That's literally what he's saying. And he's saying that because he well knows our nature is attuned to Christian paganism. We're drawn to that philosophy and thinking because it's pleasing to our natures, carnal natures. And so Jesus looked at his disciples. He looked at the people and his disciples. And in Luke it says, he said to all of them, if any man will come after me, if any man wishes, wills, determines to come after me, then he or she must deny themselves because our carnal nature craves our selfish desires. Well, I'm not quite done yet, because then these three texts say this. In Matthew, it says, and follow me. In Mark, it says, and follow me. And Luke, it says, and follow me. All three of them consistently agree that this was the meaning of what Jesus said. And that Greek word means, the A in the Greek word means a particle of union. And the other, it's made up of two Greek words, the A, which is a particle of union, and the other word is a road, to be the same way with, that is to accompany, especially as a disciple, follow. And you know, it says in Revelation, they followed the Lamb wherever He went. And folks, since I joined this church at the age of 26, at the height of my humanism, when my desires to please me were stronger than they are now, before I met Jesus Christ, there were times when after I became an Adventist that Jesus went right and I did not want to go right. There were times when Jesus went left and I didn't want to go left. There were times when Jesus went straight ahead and I did not want to go straight ahead. I guess all this time I was trying to go back. But every time I did, I got burned. And every time I followed Him, I was rewarded. Amen. And so Jesus is pleading to His people through His Bible today, loud and clear. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And by the way, the reason I'm so thankful that Luke says daily, because please, let's divide out our lives. Don't be looking into the future or the past. Be looking at just today. When you get out of bed, the thing we recite in this church that we learned, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my works be wrought in thee. Amen. And when we do that, God will prepare us for whatever is coming that day. And we can get to the end of that day. And when we do, we can sleep peacefully. And then the next day, we start all over again. Amen. It's a daily process, my friend, but don't look into the future. Don't look past. Look just for Jesus on that day. So I ask this question in light of the article I just read in the society in which we live in. Why would anyone want to deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow Him? That's crazy. You ever try to swim up a current? I remember in my better days when I trout fished in fast running cold water that we had to be careful how deep we went with our waders on because the current would just sweep us away and then the water would fill in our waders and we'd be upside down, drowned dead. Or when I tried to get to a spot I'd already been at, but I missed it through my cast, I tried to walk upstream. Not easy. Because everything's going the opposite direction. Why would anyone want to deny themselves, pick up their cross daily and follow Him? Well, let's look at the context that we find in Mark. I invite you now to take your Bibles and go to Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark, the 8th chapter. And when we look at the context, we can see the one reason that we could deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Him. I want to start here at verse 27. Do you have Mark 8? Amen? 27. Now Jesus said to His disciples, Now Jesus and His disciples went out to the town of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road He asked His disciples, saying to them, Who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets. But He said to them, But who do you say that I am? And impulsive Peter opened his mouth first as usual, but this time he was right. Peter answered and said to him, You are the Christ. Do you understand in the Greek, Christ means the Messiah. The Messiah means the Son of God. Verse 30, Then He strictly warned them that they should tell no one about this, because already the religious leaders were trying to find a way of hanging Jesus, and if they spoke that out loud, it would hasten His death, and He was following a timetable. And then, folks, look what He said for the first time to His disciples early in His ministry. Verse 31, And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Well, I want you to look at Mark 10 when He repeated this for the second time, Mark 10 and verse 33. The second time He said this, Behold, We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he'll rise again. Why would anyone in their right mind deny themselves and follow Jesus daily? If there's no other reason on earth, it's because Jesus did it first. He has the privilege and the right to ask us to deny ourselves daily. To deny ourselves, pick up our cross, walk with Him, in spite of what society said. Why? Because He went through it first. And notice how specific He was the second time He mentioned it. And notice in the book of Mark, three times He warned them. Mark 8:31, 9:31, and Mark 10:33-34. And listen to me, folks. Society was so polluted and perverted at that time, the disciples didn't even understand what He was talking about. Didn't get it. When they see Him on the cross of Calvary, they were... He told them repeatedly. He described it. He even said, "They'll spit on me." I promise that none of us here will ever go through what Jesus went through. Because first of all, none of us here is perfect. Nobody. Secondly, we could never be as hated as Jesus was until our characters were like Jesus. And that's what we're striving to do. And so let's take a look at one more text. Let's take a look at Philippians 2, 5 through 9. We're still looking at this idea. Why would anybody want to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow daily? And we discovered that Jesus told His disciples what was going to happen to Him, which means I've already gone through this for you. Now all I'm asking you in your simple life that you have, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow Me. And by the way, you know that cross? For each one of us, it's different. You know, I'll never forget the rich young ruler that threw me for a loop the first time I read it as a brand new Christian. A brand new Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I've been a Christian all my life, but didn't know a thing about the Bible. He said, "Sell everything you have, give to the poor, come follow Me." I thought, what if Jesus asked me to sell everything that I had? And then I read a little more closely, actually, in The Desire of Ages, the most fantastic book, which I've almost finished again. And in there it said that was the one plague spot in that young man. See, he wouldn't ask me to sell everything I have and give to the poor, because I got other problems. First of all, we don't have any riches, right, Jenny? I'll sell my boys, though. That's not a bad idea. Everybody's cross is different, folks, but everybody has a cross. What are you holding back from God? If you are, I'm pleading with you. Notice Jesus didn't hesitate to deny Himself, take up His cross daily, and follow the will of God as He was led by the Holy Spirit. By the way, we're here in existence, the Paradise Church, to support each other, to encourage each other, and not to point out the faults and shortcomings, but instead saying, "Brother, take my hand, let's do this together. Sister, take my hand, we're going to go this together." Because who am I in my faulty condition to judge someone else? And so we look at Philippians. By the way, I got talking here and didn't turn to Philippians. Excuse me. Chapter 2, you all should not only know this, but have it memorized. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but here it is, made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, my Bible said, and came in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Let this mind be in us that was in Jesus. What an incredible utterance by Paul that he made to those. When he said mind, he was talking about phroneo. Phroneo means to exercise the mind. That is to entertain or have sentiment or opinion like Jesus. And then the word kanao, to make empty. He made himself of no reputation. Folk, he emptied himself. How did he do that, you want to ask? Let's stop and think just for a second. He left the adoration of all the angels in heaven and all the beings of the unfallen worlds. He took off his crown and his beautiful robes. He came to earth and was born in a barn. Who here was born in a barn? Laid in a cow feeder. Who here was laid in a cow feeder? It says in Isaiah, he had no form nor comeliness that when we saw him, we would desire him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in him. Kanao, make empty, make of none effect, of no reputation void. Folks, if Jesus had come in pomp and circumstance with all the regalia, people by the billions would have flocked to him. But that is not what the kingdom of heaven is made up of. The kingdom of heaven is made up of servants. And then we come to doulos. That's the Greek word for bondservant in my Bible. Do you know what the literal meaning of doulos is? It's on the board. Slave. Someone who you buy and then kick them around at your will. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that even though he was God, he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. And then tapanao, humble. That means to depress. Figuratively, to humiliate in condition or heart, abase, bring low, humble self. Amen. How can Jesus ask us to do this? Because he already did it. Amen. And he already did it to a depth and a height that we will never be able to experience because we are not God. We are not perfect. But yes, there is a cross. So what's the solution? There's only one solution. And that is praying and pleading for the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we will deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to plead for the Holy Spirit, not because God is not willing to give it, but you folks, you all know this. It's because the more fervent we are in desiring something, the more willing we are to sacrifice for it. And so you know, we have our 10 days of prayer coming. And it'll be here at the Paradise Church. It'll be 7 to 8. The order is very simple. There's one song, a scripture and prayer, a special music, a sermonette from one of you in the audience. We have 10 people, not Pastor Thomas, not Pastor Ryan, not Pastor Neri, who will deliver a sermon from the book of Acts about an amazing story that occurred after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then you'll remember I asked you to read this book, Steps to Personal Revival, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. You can get it online. But all you have to do is go on the internet and you can get it for free. We asked everybody in the church to read this book, 108 pages, big print. By the way, much of it is testimonies of what happened to individuals and churches that pleaded for an extended period of time for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like we are going to do. I want you to come every night. Make that, deny yourself, come every night. Take up your cross daily and be here. See what God will do with us in this church if we sincerely seek the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you will or wish to come after Him, then we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, follow Him, and that will only happen with the gift or outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, to me, it gets worse. Yes, Einstein's God letter, a viral missive from 1954. If it were written now as a series of tweets, they would surely go viral. You see, it's up for auction. It was previously bought a number of years ago for $404,000, and now it's up for auction again at that auction house, I forgot the name, in New York City, and the minimum bid they're asking for is $2 to $3 million. It's called the God letter that Einstein wrote, the famous scientist. And this letter says this. One of the most famous people in the world is Panning. P-A-N-N-I-N-G. I didn't know what that meant. I looked it up. Criticized severely religion. The Word of God is for me nothing but the exercise, but the expression of and the product of human weaknesses. The Bible is a collection of venerable but still rather primitive legends. The message reads, no interpretation, no matter how subtle, can for me change anything about this. We are in a materialistic, scientific, wealthy society that is pushing the Bible and its teachings to the side and instead inviting us to follow how we see or feel it should be. Now, when famous people like Einstein say things like that, tell me that people aren't listening and being influenced, especially if you're in the scientific community. Especially if you don't come to church. Especially if you don't come to Sabbath school. prayer meeting. Okay, here's two printed out from the internet. So, what is our job? It's to reveal to people the truth and to unveil deception. By the way, that makes Satan very, very angry. But our God is more powerful than Satan. I pray that you would seriously consider attending regularly our 10 days of prayer so you can personally see what God can do. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour, for revealing information, timely information, so we can better understand what's going on around us, so that we can better protect ourselves, to stay firm and united with you and your cause and make the Bible our focus. Bless each one who's here, Lord. Don't let go of any of us. And continue to reveal the truth to us, Lord, so that when a deception comes, we'll recognize it. Before anybody leaves here, help each person, each one of us, to make a decision and then to ask you to bless that decision so that we can be more like you and less like us. And thank you, you always hear and answer our prayers because we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.